Very, very good. I'm actually going to talk about two topics really quickly, the sales enablement part and also ABM. I mean, ABM is literally the buzzword for the B2B conference this year. So I'm not going to dive that into detail, but I will touch more specifically from the process's perspective. And I was on the client side actually for about 20 years. So a lot of stuff I will be talking about is actually on the client side. Okay? Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get started. Supporting sales. Oh my God. It's painful. It's hard and it's challenging, right? Everything is always last minute. They don't know where things are. If there's a salespeople right here, bear with me. Really, that's the perception. Unfortunately, it's also the reality, right? For people like us, supporting them. Really, what the? And we need multiple different kind of therapy session, retail therapy, aroma therapy, right? Massage therapy, drinking therapy, just to get through it. I'm serious. I don't know about you. That's really how I feel when I supported an indirect sales force and a direct sales force. Double the whammy. It's hard. I actually was drinking a lot at that time. Okay. So, there are a couple things that we can do and see what we can do to turn that maybe, you know, last minute and also the request into some sort of more proactive stage. So let's look at what we can do to turn reactive to proactive, right? And I'm thinking, okay, in order to do that, what are some of the causes, right? Maybe I am the problem, right? So this is so female people talk, a female talking, like I'm the problem. No, I'm not the problem. Kidding. So what are some of the causes if you think about it, right? Maybe I'm not in the driver's seat, right? I'm not taking control. Maybe I don't understand sales well enough. Maybe I don't understand account intelligence, right? A lot of people talking about ABM, on surface what needs to be done, but do we understand that specific account that we want to go after? So what I want to talk about in the next 45 minutes is really about the three causes that possibly we can address. Again, from marketer's perspective, if you want the sales operation or sales enablement, bear with us or me specifically and see what are the part that actually, what are the parts that can actually apply to you. Okay? Very good. Let's talk about that. Not in the driver's seat. Okay, what can we do? There are multiple ways to put yourself in the driver's seat. One option, like I said, one option is really ABM, account-based marketing. You work very closely with your sales team. And this is the definition. I bet multiple sessions that you have gone today, everybody have said, hey, this is the ABM definition. Right here, I'm going to say ABM is blah, 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 personalized, blah, 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 target account, blah, 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 sales and marketing, right? In general, there is one definition I heard, I think is at a Salesforce. I'm not like 100% agree, but I understand the outcome-driven statement that the ABM definition that she was sharing is like, you know, you do ABM to cultivate and to drive the happy relationship with your customer. But I think that's everything specifically. So, but let's put this in plain English. What does that really mean? Marketers leverage existing marketing elements to close deals. That is it for ABM. For the marketing stuff that we do to help, leverage existing elements creatively. That's the essence of a personalization. That makes sense? So with that being said, if you think about it at a high level, if based on that assumption, at the high level, the common marketing tactics, what are they? What do we use for actually ABM? Customer events, boom, right? You need creative ideas to reach the target account. I will talk a little bit more about that. Relevant and personalized content, there's a lot of tools actually at the exhibit hall that share with you in terms of how you can do that. Customized emails, target programmatic ads, dynamic content serving on your website, which is an essence of personalization, or the combination of everything above. Right, from marketing's perspective, ABMs, that's what you do. And I want to talk about three different scenarios and how you can scale it, how you can get budget with your company to do that. How can you present a case to your manager and see if that works, even with including your sales team? Obviously, you know, ABM actually have a three. There are more. Engageo actually say more. But in general, if you look at the ITSMA, I think there are only three. One-to-one, one-to-few, one-to-many. And the way to differentiate that one-to-one is obviously the key strategic account that you have one-to-one relationship with them. And the one-to-few is like top, kind of like 10 account. One-to-many is verticals or industry specific. Okay, that just make it very clear in terms of what that is for the time being. Am I talking too fast?
Nope.
All right, am I too loud?
Nope.
Thank you. All right. The biggest challenge, if you ask all the marketers who are doing it, scalability and the budget. You know, the things about marketing is a lot of people don't understand that marketing is not free. We need to tell our CEO, CFO especially, you know, want to generate revenue, want to spend money. Marketing is not free. ABM, even though is leveraging existing marketing elements, but there is a personalization and customization associated with it. It's not free, right? So the things we need to address, the elephant in the closet, is how do we scale and what is the budget associated with it? You were like, yeah, I know, Pam. You know, I know that's an issue. I know I want to share with you a template that you can do it very nicely. All right. Take a breath, Pam. Okay. No need to get so excited. Really, the holy grail, if you go down to one level, right? ABM scalability, there are two factors that you can take into account. Standardization versus customization, automation versus manual. All of a sudden, what I did is a 2x2 table. Remember this. Now is the photo time, and I'm going to photobomb you. Okay? So that is the template to consider, and I want to show you in terms of how to use that. And let's use one-to-one example. This is a company I worked for 20 years, love the company with passion. And in Asia, they do quite a bit of ABM. And in order to reach like a big account, you know, like Infosoft, which is a multi-million dollar account with Intel and whatnot, the personal relationship and the face-to-face, super, super critical to close a big dollar deal in Asia, right? And a lot of time, the sales will work with the marketing team to create invitation, account-specific events. It's not customer event. It's account-specific events. Invitation only, and the workshop events at a hotel, five-star hotel, by all means, personalized agenda and the content specifically for that account, and they will talk about a couple of things. They will invite third-party vendors, not just Intel talking, but a little bit too self-serving, right? They invite third-party vendors, solution service providers, and talking about some of the solution. They also invite IDC, Forrester's industry analysts actually to be part of the agenda, like kind of kick off the day, right? So you're like, oh, that sounds great. Yeah, it is. So let's take that table, what we have, and the specific ABM that I'm talking about, let's see what we can do to determine if it's possible to scale and how much it costs. There are specific activity associated with that. And I'm not saying there's tons of things you have to do an event well. But there are some key activities, right? You need to have registration. You have a template you need to use post and the pre-events. You have some nurturing you probably have to do. If you automate it, use some of the tools, it's automation and standardization, which is easy to scale from one account event to another account event. Does that make sense? Chances are you don't need a lot of money. You can scale. The other one is inviting research and vetting. If you are inviting existing customers, Salesforce, okay? And also your salespeople vetting it, that's easy. But if you are inviting a brand new account, for example, chances are that vetting and research all of a sudden become here, right? Because it's highly manual, it's a new account, and highly customization because nobody knows who they are. You have to do a lot of research. So you move this down to here. Now let's think about it, right? The presentation prep or agenda setting that might be that you can modify. It doesn't have to be customized 100%, right? There's probably a very slight modification, which is a manual, but slight modification I put in the middle. There's a third-party vendor industry invitation. That's not too bad. It's probably a standard list of people that you can go after. So I put it right here, but it's still a manual discussion, a manual invitation that you have to send out. After event entertainment, that might be different from account to account, from country to country. Therefore, I put that very high up in terms of manual and the customization you need to give some thought. Does that make sense? So all of a sudden, this you put on the table in the wait, the VP of sales and marketing or the CEO or the VP of sales can understand. Okay, if you want to scale, it's a couple of things we have to think it through. Now, let's add additional elements to it. Let's add who is responsible. Is the owner, who, internal person, or maybe external person? All right, this whole thing, if we have to, we do we use the same template, we change a copy a little bit, it might be $5,000, right? This is just like internal people sending out stuff. And the venue might be $20,000, after event might be $5,000. All of a sudden, you know who is doing what, you know how much it's gonna cost. If you can multiply that by 20 events, you got approximate budget. Does that make sense? I'm not telling you which one you should use. That's not my point. My point is you need to be able to present the information in a logical manner, easy to understand for your management to get your budget. Once you have budget, you do whatever you want. That's the Holy Grail. Okay, I'm set. Okay, so that's that. Same thing. This one is one to few. Influative is actually one of the exhibitors. Again, I have to say I'm not affiliated with them, but they do quite a bit of account-based marketing campaign that was interesting. And this one is very much top of the funnel. They send a package actually to some new account prospects. So because they are advocate marketing experts and platforms, so they went for the prospect, like a new account. You know, nowadays everybody kind of provide customer review for your products, including your software. So they print out one of the prospect's customer review, print it out very nicely, handwritten note from their sales team, a nice physical copy of their ebook, put in a little nice package, they send it to their prospect. Right? Pretty cool. But they did A/B testing. So because it's a customer review, you can send a positive customer review, you can send a negative customer review. So they did both. They did A/B testing, they did send a bunch of people a badge, positive review, and the other one is the negative review. Guess which one convert the most? Negative? Are you guys Eeyore? Seriously? Actually, it's positive. 95% of the people who received the positive review actually called them, follow up. I mean, compared with the negative. So I guess we all like to be, you know, we like to hear that we look good, right? So I can see that. So now they got the A/B testing done. So they know they do it again. They follow up with positive customer review. But if you think about it, this one, look at this list. Doing exactly the same thing, right? Customized package. The ebook is done. You have a title right there. Identify for your VP of sales and marketing to understand, right? Customer review, somebody needs to print that out. Probably the sales team. The sales team needs to write the personal notes. The UPS, depending on you want to do a 24-hour delivery or whatnot, it's not going to be $3,000. It's probably less. All of a sudden, you know this one is easy to scale. Right there. That's why a lot of companies doing this for targeted account, because it's substantially cost effective and it's easier. Right? Okay. Next one. I stole this with pride. Seriously. Did anybody want to click in the Path Factory presentation yesterday? Nobody. One. Okay. Pretending you never heard anything they said. And I'm saying this for the first time. Actually, I got permission. I reach out to them. I say, hey, you know what? I love your case study. I'm going to use it for tomorrow, my presentation. Is it okay you send your presentation to me? They say, sure, no problem. So they did. And I pick out a couple of slides. This one is how they scale ABM. And like I said, it's a case study literally was presented yesterday. And they are targeted for existing customers. And they target for the current 110 ABM they want to do nurturing. That makes sense. So they target for verticals. Remember, my definition of one to many is actually verticals or industry specific. So they target it for financial services, healthcare, retail, life sciences. With that being said, this is the MarTech stack to do that. And I thought that was interesting, right? The two I share with you was kind of manual. There's not much of technology involved. Yeah, you might use the email template, you might use the registration, you might use the event software, but there's not like a series of the a technology that you want, you need to take into account. So because they focus on existing customers, so they work with their sales team to vet the 100 ABM potential list, because they are targeted for five different verticals, you need to customize your creative, right? Obviously, they use demand-based for targeting and dynamic. They have to serve the content. You want to do a nurturing, you give them the content, you let them read. They consume certain type of content, you score them. It's that whole methodology. You are fully aware of it. They have a media agency doing the media buy, and they have a path factories that do the customized landing page with a series of content. Once you consume, they measure it, okay? So what does that mean? If you actually do any kind of ABM, especially it's related to programmatic pay ads, you need to actually have a tools available that tie things together. So with that being said, look, that's their creative customization for different segments. So they obviously change the image. That makes a lot of sense. They change the copy a little bit, but there's a certain element that's standardized, look and feel. The banner size, for example. So, and this is their landing page, right? You come here, and it is a series of content that you can see. And if you like it, you actually fill out a form. Fine, but now let's look at this. Again, this is the third time that I'm showing this table. The customization part of it, especially right here, the banner ads, the creative, and the landing page needs to be vertical or industry driven, right? So right there, very high up, customization, manual. The call to action, yes, it can't, maybe it can be the same depending on the persona or the industry. You need to set up a dashboard, and if you set up your tool well, maybe the dynamic content selection can be automatic, but with a very little, with a bit of a customization, the media buy needs to be handled by someone else. You need to have some sort of marked stack that you understand that you can track it continuously. Again, take it one level, you know, so you can put the dollars and also owners in terms of how much you want to spend. Chances are, not surprised to everybody, the media buy probably is going to be a big chunk of dollars. Does that make sense? If you have a five verticals, if you think about it, you spend $25,000 or whatnot, all of a sudden you're talking about $125,000, right? So you know where the big dollar is. So far, so good? Great. Templates, task, owner, status update, what is the projected dollar, right? Then you can scale that. Okay, the next. Well, lack of fully understanding of the sales needs. There are three things I want to make a mention. When I supported, and I regretted this, by the way, and when I supported the indirect sales and the direct sales, I did not make an effort to actually understand the sales methodology. I kind of know their process, but I did not understand the sales process. I did not make an effort to understand their pain points. And now I think back, hindsight is 2020 in terms of how I had supported them. I was pretty like, hey, these are the type of content we use in marketing. You know, you should use it too. But I didn't do a very good job explaining to them in terms of why they should use it, to be honest, right? So now I am working with my clients and I take a slightly different approach. It's like, no, don't do what I did. That was not good, okay? And there are three things I want to talk about. Is no sales challenges and pain points, no processes and the methodology, and no account plans. And these are like, Pam, too abstract. Don't understand. What do you really mean? I like to bring anything abstract down to a solid level that you can either show it on the slide or use a template to present it. So let's talk about this. When I say no sales challenges and a pain point, I want you to create your sales team's persona. So we marketers, when we try to reach out to our prospects or our customers, we have buyer's persona. You know what? Why don't we create something to show that we understand sales? Okay, that's just called sales persona. The other one, understand the sales process. I want to emphasize the way you understand it. I want to show you a template how to do that. Know the account plan. That's account intelligence. We'll talk a little bit more. So this is a typical buyer's persona. If you support IT, you know, segments, you probably have a CIO, Charles. Okay, I don't have to go into detail. Well, you can do something similar, but actually for your sales team. What are some of their personality traits? Highly motivated, strategic, stressed all the time, results driven, whatnot, right? And that your company name, sales, I need marketing, that can be replaced as a sales enablement, sales operation to do what? Let's just formalize it, right? Our sales team, I'm going to read this because I think it's important. I want to show you in terms of what information needs to be included. Our sales team focus on selling what? What is the hero products they are selling? Solving what issues? It shows you understand. If you can put the first sentence down, that, right? They're consistently looking for opportunity to close sales, blah, blah, blah. Right here, our sales also use prospecting on what? How do they prospect? Do they use social media? Do they attend networking events? Do they do cold calling? Call that out. You know, like you understand, right? If they are not actively selling, they are researching. What do they research? Okay. All right. Our sales team puts what first? The favorite activities. What is that? Right here. I love this. They claim the best days to connect with your prospects are Tuesdays and Wednesdays. If they say that and you know it, you know on Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock, you're going to get a call. Okay. Yes. Pam, where's that content that you were talking about? Remember? Where's that? Okay. So let's get that. Most of them, they still work on the weekend. I don't know if they do. Serious Decision this morning was talking about, you know, if you want to look into your sales enablement training effort, you need to understand the seniority of your sales talent. Right here, I did. Most of our salespeople have been with the company for over blah, blah years. They meet quotas what percentage of the time? They meet quotas 75% of the time or 50% of the time? If 50%, you were like, ooh, not good. We need to do something to help them, right? Sales and numbers games, blah, blah, blah. When do they review the dashboards? You know, what meeting do they attend? Monday morning, weekly huddles. And our sales team are strongly motivated by what? Those are just some of the statements to show you understand the sales team, period. Right? None of them are complicated. It's just like when you are describing your son, you know, Aaron loved this, loved to go and ski on the weekend, and during summertime, plays tennis. You know, that kind of conversation, that kind of information. None of those information is like mind-boggling. You probably have it. Well, let's formalize it. Okay, show that you understand. All right, so was everybody at that Scott Millman fandom presentation today? Everybody? Yeah, okay, great. So the visual I use over there, curative. You look at that, you're like, Pam, seriously, you use a photo stock. And I was like, oh, yeah, David Scott, you are right. Maybe I need to be a little bit transformative. You all see the image I pick? All right, can you imagine showing this to your sales team? Tell them that he's your Superman. All right, the Sales Justice League, right there. And for saleswoman, it's like, you're my hot girl, okay? Anyway, sorry. I thought I will bring just-in-time learning into my presentation. Curative, transformative. All right. Okay, with that being said, next things I want to talk about, it's really sales journey. And I emphasize right here, the way you understand, okay? So there got to be a sales process your sales team goes through. It doesn't matter you started with some sort of inside sales, they pre-qualify down to the close. I'm not talking about a process flow. They receive a call, yes, then they take the next step. The customer did not respond the call, no. I'm not talking about process flow. I'm talking more linear. You know, what are the things they do? They contact somebody, they qualify somebody, maybe they do a demo, they made a proposal, they close, right? So it's probably 6 to 8 type of milestone. Don't make it more than 8, okay? Our life is already complicated enough. That just makes our life a little easier for ourselves. So no more than 8. And obviously for SaaS-based platform, you probably contact somebody, then you do a demo first, then you do a free trial, then you do a serious follow-up, then you close deal. So that, you know, you will look at that sales journey and say, oh yeah, that's very typical. No, actually it depends on product and also depends on how your sales team go about it. Does that make sense? So identify 5 or 6 of them, right? And then I have a blank. As you can see, I love creating templates. My job, my whole life is really about filling a blank. Okay, so here, I created additional boxes right here so you can fill the blank. But before you can fill the blank, you have to answer a couple questions in order to add that information into the boxes. So what kind of question do you usually ask in general? Okay, this is coming from marketer's perspective. Okay, what are the 3 to 5 questions? Again, as you can tell, everything I do is less than 10. 2 by 2, right? Question you ask, 3 or 5. I follow the rule of 3 religiously. Okay. Anything more than 3, people are like, oh, that's too much. I don't remember. Okay. 3 to 5 questions the sales ask. What are the content pieces they use at each stage? They got to have something they use, right? What are the 2 or 3 challenges and rejections? What kind of rejection that they receive? Encounter at each stage, and also 2 or 3 things they do to move to the next level, and what channels do they does the sales usually use to communicate with prospect, and what frequency, right? But when you fill the blanks, don't just answer the questions. Don't. You need to internalize it and do this. Write it in a very succinct way that you understand, and you can also present it back to your sales team and also your management. Does that make sense? Don't answer the questions literally. Yes, you do, but you need to take time to internalize it and only add the information here. Right? For this specific presentation, I changed it probably 20 times. I literally change until the last minute before I present because I want to add some information I learned over a period of time. Because I'm trying to internalize the session I went to, the keynote I listened to, and I want to see what are some of the pieces I can add it either for entertainment value or utility value, right? So when you are asking those questions, you need to spend some time to internalize it and then summarizing in the way that's easy for management to understand. Okay, great. Awesome. Next one. Lack of a key account intelligence. How much time do I have? Am I talking? Huh? 15 minutes? Okay, great. Okay, lack of the key account intelligence. When I went to the sessions, multiple different ABM sessions today, they were always talking about tactics and the tools that needs to be used, and I support that 100%. Tactic is important. At the end of the day, execution, execution, execution. But one thing that's very important for marketers who are supporting sales, or even for sales ops and sales enablement, if we are actually working with them on ABM stuff, we better understand our account a little bit more, or to some extent, have some basic understanding of our sales team's knowledge, right? They have very much in-depth knowledge about specific account. They do a lot of research. We'll go talk to them, try to get that information. We need to understand account intelligence. I'm not saying that you have to know all the details and gossip. Gossip is nice. But you need to understand some firmographic and technographic information. Right here, in general, in a perfect world, that our sales team have account plan. But in reality, do you think they have it? Okay, I'm not gonna answer, I'm not gonna judge. Okay, I'm not gonna judge, okay. A lot of time for a big account that, you know, when I was working at Intel for HP account, they literally have hundreds of people like in the one account and calling on HP. Because they have so many people, they have really kind of like a playbook that get everybody up to date in terms of that account. They have organizational charts and they have the managers, they have red flags, they also have a weekly meetings or whatnot. The most important things, it doesn't matter what kind of information that you have. From my perspective, this is only Pam talking, but your job might be a little bit different. From my perspective, the things that you need to know to support the marketing team, the sales team, what are some of the customer's big initiatives? Okay, what are the products have we sold and we want to sell more? What are some of the cross sales and the up sales that we need to be aware? That's called white space mapping, which is what are some of the white space that we have to fill up? That means we need to sell stuff to them. And what is the sales team's game plan and the positioning? How do they position ourselves to sell more products, right? What are some of the milestones? And another one is where are we at this time? Are we meeting the sales goal? Are we not meeting the sales goal? What are we missing? Because if you have some of those information, you can actually help them more. That makes sense? So with that being said, you know that account plan may not exist. And we know that information is called tribal knowledge is on someone's heads. Talk to them. Bribe them. Take them for a cup of coffee. Buy them lunch and then charge back to your department. Right? Right? Talk to them. The other one thing is what are some of the tools that you guys have? Salesforce is one of them. CIM, maybe there's some other tools your sales team are using. Right? So check out your sales and the MarTech platforms to gather that intelligence or talk to other internal stakeholders. It's a scavenger hunt. Gathering account intelligence, scavenger hunt. Treat it as a fun activity. Don't treat it like, oh, God, crapped. Do I really have to talk to Tom again? Treat it like, oh, my God, it's going to talk to Tom again. We're going to get some information about, you know, HP. Oh, cool. Thank you for the laugh. Appreciate it. What I'm trying to say is, if you do all this, are you like, in a perfect world? No, I'm telling you that. Supporting sales will continue to be painful, hard, and challenging. That will still not go away. All the therapy sessions I talk about is still needed, including retail. Okay. My first slide, I say everything is changing last minute. But after you do this, turn to be proactive instead of reactive. Things, I didn't say everything, things will be a little better, but still we have last minute stuff. Always, that will never go away. But you at least make an effort to minimize it to some extent, right? You make an effort to show it that you are doing stuff and the sales team can see it, your management are seeing it. So with that being said, the world is... So, just want to let you know, if you do all that, everything will be awesome, and you are living out of your dream, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, enabling sales. Thank you so much, I really appreciate it. Whatever. I was like, okay, so anybody have any questions? You know, give it to me. I promise I do answer people's questions. I don't leave people hanging. No, that's not me. Okay, yes. Do you really want my presentation? It's 131 megabyte.
Yes.
Yes, I'll send it. The one that's currently in the... in the app, it's a bridge version. Because I don't have the videos, I don't have that kind of stuff, but if you want, send an email to me, I'll take care of you. Okay, anybody, questions? Okay, yes. Yeah, you only have to read chapter 4 to 6, done deal. Chapter 4 to 6, I'm telling you, I'm a teacher, I tell you what to read for your final. The rest of the chapter, blah, blah, blah. Okay. You did not hear from the author. Okay. But anyway, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You guys are a trooper. And stay with me until the last session. Thank you.